Looking at something very interesting. Today we'll be looking at dispensations. Dispensations. Many a times in the end time message, you will hear things like dispensational prophets. It's a very common language in the end time message. But the truth is, if we should break down the word dispensations, many of us don't understand the right place of that word in the Bible. Are we together? Somebody shout hallelujah. Don't worry, we are not speaking big grammar. But pay close attention. You will definitely learn something that will help you to understand the divine agenda of God. In this church, we love to say it. Don't be a religious person. Don't just go to church because they gave birth to you and called your name Peter or Chinedu or Oluwadamilare. Then you feel because you have a godly name, your parents by religion say Christianity, then you too. No, don't just go to church. Some of us don't even know why we go to church. Christianity is not a religion. Many people all over the world today have put on the cloak of righteousness. Because why? According to them, it is a holy day. So from Monday to Saturday, I can go to the beer parlor. From Monday to Saturday, I can lie, I can steal, I can do anything I want. But once it is Sunday, I must go to church. It's a holy day. That's not why we go to church. Sunday is not a holy day. So when you meet people that will be telling you, you people are wrong. It's not supposed to be Sunday. Saturday is the Sabbath. Saturday is the Sabbath. Why are you worshiping God on Sunday? Now, if you don't know anything, if you're just being religious, you might be arguing with them. No. We don't worship God on Sunday. We don't go to church on Sunday because Sunday is Sabbath. Mm-mm. Are we together? To the child of God, every day is holy. I thought I would hear amen from you people. To the child of God, every day is holy. What makes you holy is the Holy Spirit in you. Sunday was not chosen to be a day of worship. There is no particular day chosen for worship in the New Testament. Sunday worship is a tradition of the early fathers of the faith. They only chose to gather on Sunday out of every other day of the week simply because the Lord Jesus resurrected on Sunday morning. That's all. It is not a commandment. It is not an ordinance for us to gather on Sunday. If you choose to be going to church on Friday, your service day Friday, you have not sinned. You have not broken any scripture. If you decide to make Monday the day of your own going to church, you have not sinned. After service today, you can go and open your shop. Go and transact that business. You have not done wrong. Why am I saying this? Don't be religious. Be revelated. Are we together? Don't be religious. Be revelated. Know why you go to church. Not just know why you go to church. Know the kind of church you go to. Know why you take a stand that you are taking in the Christian faith. Are we together? Know why you take the stand you are taking in the Christian faith. Know why you are told to dress a particular way, especially our sisters. Don't be religious, be revelated. So let's pay close attention. The Lord will bless us as we look into this interesting thing. So like I was saying, many times you use the word dispensation. In fact, among the followers of ministry of William Branham, you hear things like this. William Branham is what? The dispensational prophet. So you discover that many people don't even know what dispensations are in the Bible. And there are actually dispensations spelled out in the Word of God. Now, for a text, let's briefly look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. I want us to eat some strong meat. Pay close attention so that you will learn something that will make you understand the divine agenda of God. Now, listen. See that word dispensation in the Bible. It was used in several places. Apostle Paul said something. Okay, let's first read Ephesians 1:10. He says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So from this statement, there is a dispensation called, please go back to verse 10. There is a dispensation called the dispensation of the fullness of time. That's one. But there are other dispensations also in the Bible. Are we together? Now, look at the dictionary meaning of dispensation. Dictionary defines dispensation as a political, religious, or social system prevailing at a particular time. A political, religious, or social system prevailing at a particular time. For instance, there was the dispensation of the military regime in Nigeria. You say there was the military era. Now we are in the democratic world era. It's another dispensation. So are you understanding it? It is not a big word. But spiritually, it means the divine ordering of the affairs of this world. The divine ordering of the affairs of the world. That means a particular system, a particular spiritual system at a particular period of time. Are we together? A particular system. A particular system at a particular period of time, in a given period of time. Don't worry, as we go further, you will understand it. And this brings us to what we want to say this morning. The life of man, the history of man generally, from the creation of man in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 to the last day of man on earth after the white throne judgment, when the Bible says that the Son will hand over the kingdom back to the Father, then we will come into eternity. The history of man can be divided into seven different dispensations. Pay close attention. Let's chew some meat. There is the milk of the word of God. There is also the strong meat. The Bible says milk are for babes. Water baptism, repent, hellfire, heaven. The strong meat are for those that have passed that level. And the Bible says we should go on unto perfection. So every day we'll come, we'll not be telling you, give your life to Christ, water baptism in Jesus' name. There are many other things to learn from the word of God. This is part of it. From when God created man and placed him in Eden, in Genesis 1:28, let us make man in our own image. Till the last day that man will spend before eternity. The last period is what we see in 1 Corinthians 15:28. Can we see it? 1 Corinthians 15:28. After the 1,000 years reign of Jesus, then Satan tempts some people. Then God comes, the white throne judgment is set. Everybody that sinned, unbelievers, sinners, they are all cast into the lake of fire. Now, to round up the whole agenda with mankind, this is the final stage. He says, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, Jesus, then shall the Son also be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So this is the point where we now go back into eternity. The test of man is over. The agenda for man is over. Those that passed will begin to live eternally with God. We will be like the angels. Then God can decide to start another creation and another program. But we have eternal life and we will be like the angels with him. Our testing period, our agenda is over. Now, so the time that man will dwell on earth, from the creation of man till that particular time when man will be called into eternity, the dispensations, the period of man can be divided into seven different dispensations. So seven different systems at seven different times. For instance, when we say we have seven church ages, it is like saying that we have seven dispensations of the church. Are you understanding it? The grammar is not a big grammar. When we say we have seven church ages, it's like saying we have seven different dispensations of the church. But now we are looking beyond church ages. We are looking at the life of man generally. The history of man. The divine agenda for mankind. From when God created man till when God will bring man into eternity with him. There are seven different dispensations. Are we together? Now let's list out those dispensations. The next slide. These are the dispensations. Okay, see another definition. It says, A dispensation is a period of spiritual administration. It is a period that marks a specific dealing of God with men. Now, these are the seven dispensations as listed out. We have the dispensation of innocency. From the creation of man to the fall of man. When man was in the Garden of Eden, that dispensation, that period, is known as the dispensation of innocency. For instance, then, the nature of man had not been corrupted. Man was living in peace. The man and his wife were naked, and the Bible says they were not ashamed. Man and animal lived peacefully. Even at that time, physically, man could not even eat animal or anything that has blood. So it was a period of time. You will not go to Adam in the Garden of Eden and start preaching to Adam, give your life to Christ, be born again. No. Are we understanding it? That was not the time for it. Please sound, help us walk with this rebounding that we keep having. That was not the time for it. You will not tell Adam, don't fornicate, don't lie, don't steal. He doesn't even know what fornication is. Are we together? Somebody open your ears. You will learn something and you understand and you will love the Bible. You see that the only book that man needs to understand life is this Bible. That's why Satan fights the true revelation of the Word of God. They have turned the message of the Bible to motivational speaking and prosperity message. This Bible tells us the origin of man and it lets us know the end of man. Everything happening in the world is spelled out in the Bible. The Bible is the light. It says, thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet, the word of God. You need to understand it for you to understand life and how you should live life. So the period when man was in Eden, where man had known no sin, where every day in the cool of the evening, Baba God will come down and fellowship with Adam and Eve, Adam and woman. That was known as innocency. Then when man fell, after they partook of the fruit, you will see that the Bible said, Adam and Eve knew that they were what? Naked, and they sewed fig leaves. All this while, they didn't know they were naked. It was until something happened, they knew that they were naked. What happened? Their conscience was now awakened. So from when God drove man from the Garden of Eden to the flood was another dispensation called conscience. We will look at it one after the other. I'm just giving a summary before we start looking at each one of them. Then you will discover in Genesis 6, God said all imagination of the thought of man's heart was evil. That means the conscience of man was bad. Then the flood came. After the flood, God began a new covenant with Noah. That brought us to another dispensation known as human government. They were supposed to repopulate the earth, multiply. Man was supposed to rule this world for God. But they failed. In the Tower of Babel, instead of them to spread, there was a rebellion against God. And they said, let us build a tower to reach unto heaven. That dispensation ended. Then there was another dispensation known as the patriarchal dispensation or the promise. From the scattering of Babel to the Exodus, God started dealing with certain men. You hear of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They were the patriarchs. Then God became known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was another period of time. For a period of 430 years, it was another dispensation. Then we move from there. When the children of Israel went to Egypt, they were still under the covenant. They were still under the patriarchal dispensation. They were known as the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. From the little family of 70 people that went into Egypt, by the time they will be coming out of Egypt, they were a nation of millions of people. Then God gave them what we know as the law. It marked another period in God's dealing with man. The law was another dispensation. Are we together? You will see what the Bible says, that the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by what? Jesus. So the law itself was a dispensation. Then, after the law, Jesus came, died, went back. Another dispensation started, which is what? The dispensation of grace. And that is where we are today. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord. Under the dispensation of the law, you could not go and be telling somebody, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. There was no such thing. You could not say, be baptized with the Holy Ghost. There was no such message. But in this time, the message you take out is not be circumcised, go to Sabbath, keep the Sabbath day. Under the dispensation of the law, for instance, when a woman is having a monthly flow, she can't even near the temple. Your husband cannot even touch your hand. He will be unclean till evening. And you'll be unclean for 7 days. But under dispensation of grace, it is different. Under dispensation of law, this morning now, all of us would have come with one lamb, one goat, one turtle dove. But under grace, we have the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Are we together? So there are different dispensations. After grace, there is another dispensation coming. That's the kingdom, known as the millennium, when Jesus will dwell on the earth and rule for 1,000 years, and the bride will be kings, and Jesus will be King of Kings. The world will not be the way it is today. In the kingdom age, you will not go preaching, give your life to Christ, be born again. No. In fact, in the kingdom age, there will not be the way sin is in the world today. It will not be so. Sin will not be tolerated at all. So anybody that is not seeing sin, before you come out and even commit the act, you'll be killed immediately. In the kingdom age, there is no even mercy. There's no father, forgive me. There's no other one that you go and fornicate or lie, then you come back and say, father, forgive me. No. The mere fact that you are still thinking about it in the kingdom age, you just see one bride of Jesus Christ appear and just, yeah. Because sin will not be permitted. It is another dispensation. So these 7 periods of time cover the whole stay of mankind on this earth. All of the history of man spiritually are divided into these 7 different periods. 7 different dispensations. If you are with me, shout hallelujah. Don't worry, if you have questions, when we are done, you can ask the questions. Are we together? Now, let's go to the next slide. Let's start looking at them one after the other. Let's dive deeper so that somebody will understand. Like I said, the first dispensation is known as what? Innocence or innocency. Man was created innocent, not righteous, so innocent. He knew no sin, he knew no left from right. It was just like a newborn baby. Are we together? When David said in the Psalms, Psalm 51, in sin did my mother conceive me. Adam was not conceived in sin. David was not speaking of this period of time. Are you with me? Adam was not even conceived by a woman. He was formed by the hands of God. So in this period known as innocence, it covered the period that man dwelt in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 1:28, there were specific instructions or mandates that God gave man. Let's see it. God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and refill the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, over the fowl, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Next verse. And God said, I have given you what? Every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for food. Verse 30. And to every beast, okay? Can you see? In fact, in this period, in that dispensation of innocence, the only food that man even knew were plants. Not today that man will go and start, you get hungry for barbecue, for suya. No. So the life of man, the spiritual condition, the spiritual atmosphere of man in that dispensation was peculiar. See all that God told man to do. Have dominion, subdue, refill. To care for the garden. Genesis 2:15. Genesis 2:15. Part of the mandate that God gave man when he was in innocence. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. To do what? To dress it and to keep it. Now go to verse 17. The only command, verse 16 and 17, let's start from verse 16. The only command that God gave man, that the only thing you are not to do, he says, take of every tree of the garden, you may eat. Verse 17, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it. For in the day you eat it, you will surely die. That was the only thing that man was not supposed to do. Adam did not know anything about don't fornicate, this or that. He was innocent. Woman was innocent. Next slide. Characteristics of that dispensation. Man had no sin nature in the dispensation of innocence. It was until Adam fell that sin was imputed into the world. You can see that in Romans 5:12. It was after the fall of Adam that death entered the world. Do you know that if Adam and woman had not sinned, I know why I'm referring to her as woman. Before the fall, her name was woman. After the fall, her name changed to Eve. It is significant. Did you hear me? Adam woke up that morning and said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. But after the fall, he said what? And to his wife, Genesis 3:20. Some of you don't know it is significant. Pay close attention when you come to bride assembly. And Adam called his wife's name what? There was a reason. Because we'll get there. So let's go back to our slide. Characteristics of the dispensation. Man was to eat herbs and fruits. There was no enmity between man and animals. Imagine that the pet of Adam was tiger and lion. Adam will lie down and he will rest his head on a tiger. If you go and do it today, we will first do your service of songs before you go. We'll say, if we never meet again on this, because we know you are going forever. Sorry, eh? Like the story of the prophet that went to Ibadan Zoo several years ago. I wanted to show that God of Daniel is still alive. How we found his way to the lions then, it was a fact, it was not fiction. Only God knows. Well, today, it is where. But in the garden, in that period of innocence, there was no fear. You will not see serpents or snake and run away. Animals will not see you and run away. It was peace, peace, peace. The spiritual atmosphere was very beautiful. Man had everlasting life, not eternal life, everlasting life. That means as long as Adam continued that way, he will continue living. But it was in the day that you eat of the fruit that you shall die. He had not come into eternal life because he had not partook of the tree of life. But he had everlasting life. There are different things. The dispensation ended with what? The fall of Adam. So something happened. Genesis 3. Let's read Genesis 3 from verse 1. Before we go to the next dispensation, Genesis 3, it says, now the serpent was subtle than any beast of the field. Okay, we know the story. Let's take it from verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God don't know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Part of the meaning of that is that your conscience shall be awakened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing what? Before that time, it simply meant they knew no good and evil. Are we together? That was one of the reasons why Adam could fall. He knew no good and evil. Are you with me? The Bible said that the creature was made subject to vanity. God designed it that way so that man will fall. Why did God do it? So that God will manifest his attributes. Then what happened in verse 6? She took of it and her husband with her, they ate. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Something happened. When man fell, the dispensation of innocence ended. Now man has the knowledge of good and evil. Then what did that produce? The the conscience of man was now awakened. Now man knows what is right, what is wrong. He now has conscience. If you are still with me, shout hallelujah. Several sisters are not with me. Sisters, if you are with me, shout hallelujah. Some are not with me, no problem. Those that are with us, let's fire on. The conscience of man was awakened. Now he knows, oh, I'm even naked. I'm not supposed to be naked. He sewed fig leaves. Are you with me? So the dispensation of innocence, the period of innocence, ended. The fall of man brought about the end of that dispensation. Are we together? Then God moved on to the next one. Don't forget that when man was in the garden, there was nothing like sacrifice. He did not need to offer sacrifice. He did not need to shed any blood. The whole atmosphere was without sin. That's why we say it was a dispensation of innocence. Adam will not go to God before he fell. He will not be saying, Father, forgive me. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. Father, forgive me for all the bad things I did this last week. Not Adam. That was not the spiritual condition of that dispensation. But when he fell, something happened. Then we move to the next dispensation, known as the dispensation of what? If you are with me, echo it now. Are you understanding, church? Sisters, are you understanding? If you are not understanding, say, please, I'm not understanding, sir. Sisters, are you understanding? This line, they are not even responding. Sisters, are you understanding? The yes is coming from you people. I'm clapping for you. We are not here to speak big grammar. We are here to help our understanding of the word of God. So all these things I'm saying, if it's not driving home, I'm wasting my time. If I should continue, shout fire on. Thank you. I'm encouraged. So we move to the next stage. Conscience now awakened. Man now has a conscience. And this was from the period that God sent away man from the garden. Because after the fall, man could not continue to dwell in that presence of God. The Garden of Eden was the presence of God. God chased him out. God chased him out. So from the period that man fell, till we come to the days of Noah, when God used flood to destroy the world, we had what? The dispensation of conscience. Now man has a conscience. That means he knows that if this thing, God says I should not do it, that means it is bad. He now has a conscience. So if he does it, what will happen? His conscience will prick him. He knows that if God says I should not do this thing, it is bad. If God says I should do this thing, it is good. So the conscience of man was at work. So this dispensation of conscience covers the period from the fall of man till we come to Genesis 6:5. Don't forget that the fall of man, man fell, left the presence of God. Then we started seeing what? The sinful nature manifesting. Are we together? When man left that glorious atmosphere, when he died spiritually, then the sinfulness of man started manifesting. It was from that point that what the psalmist said in Psalm 51, that in sin did my mother conceive me. I was shaping iniquity. It was from when God removed man from the garden and they started repopulating. That was when every one of us started coming with the sinful nature. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. Let's read it. Romans 5 verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man, what happened? Sin entered into the world. Who was that man? Adam. And because sin entered into the world, what happened? Death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. Why? For that all have, even that baby that is still in the womb, when that baby comes out, is already a sinner. Because the father of the race has sinned already. Everything he will bring forth, we have that nature of sin in him.
Are we together? So man now has a sinful nature. He has a sinful nature. So the conscience cannot help but be bad. When you come to Genesis 6, 5, you could see that the conscience of man was already seared. He has a conscience, but the sinful nature will not allow him please God. God saw that what? The wickedness of man was what? Great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Are you understanding? He has a conscience now, but the nature is sinful. So it manifested. Those that were good, it was not as if Noah was too righteous that he was not. Noah himself had the sinful nature. Everybody. But you could see that the righteous ones in those days, their conscience will prick them. Up till now, there are some human beings that, despite the conscience they have, their conscience is dead. Of course, now we know it. When somebody will see you and backstab you, does he have a conscience? When a human being will kidnap another woman being and butcher him, butcher her, definitely there's no conscience. That conscience is what? Dead. That's the meaning of what I mean by there's no conscience. So you see, in this dispensation, the sinful nature of man manifested because it was only showing man what was in him. Then what do we see? It was in this period from the fall that a curse was placed on the serpent. From an upright creature, it became a reptile. We don't know which particular reptile. It was after the fall in this dispensation that there became a change in womanhood and childbearing. Don't forget what God told Eve. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children. That means before the fall, God never intended that you will give birth in sorrow or pains. Are we together? It was in this same period that God cursed nature, cursed the earth. Said it is thorns and tissues that the earth will bring forth for Adam. God told Adam, you will labor. It is in the sweat of thy face that you will eat. In the garden, Adam did not need to labor for anything. Then it was also in this dispensation, after man fell, that the promise of the woman's seed, Christ, was made. And what happened at the end of this dispensation? Because evil increased, God wiped all mankind and animals with what? With a flood. Save only those in the ark. Are we together? Now let's read some scriptures. Genesis 3 from 17 to 19. Unto Adam he said, now see it. In fact, let's start from verse 15. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall do what? Bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So a promise was made of the seed of a woman. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Verse 17. Unto Adam he said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of that tree that I commanded thee, saying you should not eat of it. What will happen? Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face will you eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Can you see it? These were part of the conditions that began to govern the life of man after the fall. It was another dispensation. By man's disobedience, man came to an experimental knowledge of good and evil when he partook of that tree. Of good as obedience to the will of God. Of evil as disobedience to the will of God. Let me let you know. Eve and Adam, woman and Adam, they did not know the implication of what they wanted to do. They were just innocent, just like your little baby that doesn't know right or left. You see him misbehaving. That's why the Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But what will happen? The rod of correction will chase it away from him. The baby doesn't know left or right. It's just, you know, it is as it's growing, you start knowing. Baby can see something harmful and not know and go and put his hand. It is when he sees the effect of it that from henceforth he has learned by experience. So the conscience of man awoke. A man was expected to do all known good. Whatever is the will of God, they were supposed to obey. Whatever was not the will of God, they were supposed to leave it. And then in this dispensation, sacrifices became necessary because now man has sinned and left that beautiful Garden of Eden, the presence of God. So you could see Cain and Abel coming to offer sacrifice. The offering of Cain and Abel was not seed faith offering. It was not give, it shall be given unto you. No. It was offering for sin, for remission. Are we together? It was not seed faith offering. It was not just offering. It was not tithe. Neither was it first fruit. It was an offering for sin. They were born in sin. From the day that God expelled man from the Garden of Eden, man had needed a sacrifice to approach God. So that was why when Cain came, God looked at him. Your sacrifice is not the right one. Do the right thing. Cain knew the will of God. That was why God rejected it. If it was just any type of offering, it is what a man has that the man will give. God would have accepted it. But it was a sin offering. There needed to be a specific, divinely chosen offering. And it was Abel that brought it. Are we together? So it was from when man left that garden, when conscience awoke, when the dispensation changed, that man started needing sacrifice to approach God. Praise the living God. But at the end, the conscience awoke, but the sinful nature prevailed over the conscience. The conscience could not help to tame the sinful nature. So what happened? In Genesis 6:5, God said, all imagination of man's heart was evil. What will I do? I will destroy man from the face of the earth. And then God found a man and his family called Noah. And then out of every other animal, God brought two, male and female, and kept them in the ark. And then wiped every other living thing, destroyed them. Thinking if he should wipe away man, the evil will end. But even the man, the woman, the people in the ark, the sinful nature was in them. So let's move on. So the dispensation of conscience ended with the flood. We move forward to the next dispensation. After the flood, something interesting happened. From Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, let's read. This marked a new beginning. Let's read Genesis 8, 20. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Now, this was Noah when he came out of the ark. The Bible says that Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Chapter 9 from verse 1. Let's move on. Please follow the reading. Genesis chapter 9 from verse 1. This is what happened when they came out of the ark. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, what? Be fruitful, multiply, and do what? Was this not the same thing God told Adam? Can you see that it was a new beginning? And this time around, it says, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast. We are reading. The animals did not need to fear Adam. It was love, peace. But now when they see you coming, they'll run away. And upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be what? Can you see now that even the diet of man changed? It was from this point that man became carnivorous. What is a carnivorous animal? Give mommy. Mommy is a doctor, a PhD holder. What is a carnivorous animal?
It's an animal that eats only flesh.
Animal that eats flesh. Okay, man is omnivorous, both flesh and plant. Yes, man is omnivorous.
Cockroach is omnivorous. Rat is omnivorous.
Thank you, ma'am. So it was from this point that the diet of man changed. Are we together? The diet of man changed. Then verse 4. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. We are reading. Please continue. And surely, your blood of your lives will I what? Require. God instituted something here. Pay close attention. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, what will happen to him? By man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he him. Now, you could read on and on and on. So this period marked a new beginning. God wanted man now to rule the world for him. Don't forget, the serpent infiltrated the family in the garden. Then another species, a hybrid, came into the family. We know that Cain was not the son of Adam. There became a mixture. But this time around, you all are from one family, family of Noah. Now, man, rule man for me. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by blood shall his man be shed. And this is what I want you people to do. Spread all over the world. Replenish the earth. Spread. Multiply the earth. Fill the world. But what happened? Just 325 years after the flood, man erected a tower called the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was a symbol of rebellion against God. God said they should spread, multiply, but they said, no, let us make us a name, a tower that will reach unto heaven. Let us be one. It was an open rebellion to the will of God, to the program of God. So this dispensation, from the time of after the flood till God scattered them, when they were building Babel, is known as the dispensation of human government. Are we together? So what were the characteristics of this dispensation? God will not destroy. He made a promise to man that he will not destroy the earth with a flood again. Noah and his family were supposed to repopulate the earth. They were given dominion over animals. Their diet was changed. Now they could eat plants and animals. Not only did their diet change, their lifespan also reduced. Before the flood, you hear of Methuselah. How old was he? 969. You hear of men that lived 960, 800. But when the dispensation changed, it also changed. The diet of man changed. Now, any one of them that lived to be 400 after the flood was seen as a big man. Then as the years kept going, the age kept diminishing. You come to the days of Abraham. Abraham lived to be 175. Isaac was 180, if I'm not mistaken. But the years kept diminishing. Until you reach the time of Moses, it became 120. Then when you come to the Psalms, God said that the days of man are 70. But by reason of strength, it could be 80. So if you live to be 80 years in this generation, just be praising God. Hallelujah. Then the law of capital punishment was established. What's capital punishment? If you kill man, by man must you be killed. Don't forget, when Cain killed Abel, God did him no harm. But this time around, you kill any man, man will kill you. God removed the curse on the earth. What was the curse? God cursed the ground. From when they left the garden till this time, they were laboring. It was only tissues and thorns. See something in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verse 29. Genesis 5, verse 29. And he called his name Noah, saying what? This shame shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of hands because of the ground which the Lord had caused. But something happened after the flood. Back to Genesis 8, verse 22. God removed that curse, then changed the climate, changed everything, and said what? While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So now you can go to your farm and plant. Then in harvest time, you will reap, you will harvest. Before this period, they were toiling and struggling. Can you see? So it was a different dispensation. The curse on the earth was removed. Now man can sow and can harvest. You can plant beautiful flowers. You can plant crops and harvest them. Before that time, it was thorns and thistles. They labored and suffered. Now, Noah's descendants, we'll stop here today. Noah's descendants didn't scatter the earth. But what did they do? They built a tower in rebellion. Genesis 11. Then God brought the construction to a halt and scattered them with different tongues. That brought the rise of different nations and cultures. So at that point where God confused the tongue of men, that dispensation came to an end. When we come back next week, God willing, we will continue. The seven, this is the third one. We have the law, we have promise, we have grace, we have the kingdom. All these dispensations are peculiar, they are unique. The system of administration were different. The life of man in these different dispensations were different. And it will do you good to understand it. And then when we come to the dispensation of grace, you will understand why we in this generation are very special. And you understand what grace is and why you should not mingle law with grace. When we come there, this issue of Sabbath, this issue of don't eat pig, don't eat catfish, don't eat snail, is not under grace. Pork is very sweet. If you have not eaten it before, go and eat it. Those are not under grace. Sabbath is not under grace. The Lord willing, we will see this and God will bless us. Jam those hands together and be on your feet. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. Are you blessed? If you are blessed, put those hands together for the Lord once again. In 150. Oh, happy day.